Hello, welcome to Star Wars Spelt Out. I'm your host, Josh Chapman, and today, Thrawn Stars, Episode 3, getting deep into Ahsoka, and for the 200th episode of this podcast, we've got a full deck. We've got all the things we like. We've got full decks, we've got returning guests, we've got new guests, we've got it all. We've got it all right here. So I'm just going to go around my windows as I see them. And introduce back after his absence last week, Matt Mull. How you going, buddy?
Good, mate. Here for the Purgle party, number 200.
Ain't no party like a Purgle party. and then to his right, first time guest, a guy who wouldn't even get on the microphone on the blog pods at Celebration, a guy who did so much behind the scenes and ran away like you were trying to shove a lightsaber in his face, but for some reason was happy to come and talk Ahsoka live from the UK. Andy Bell, how you going, buddy?
Hello. Good to be here.
Good for you to be here. And if people don't know who Andy is, he's a fellow who's been following a lot of our podcasts for a while and was at Celebration when we were in London and just became one of the gang, really, and kicked around with us for a few days and was wonderful company to have. So it's good to have you here. On the pod.
It's great to be here, and I must admit, you guys made it very, very easy just to slide on in and have a good time.
Slide into those podcast parties, and holding the fort as usual. Catherine, how you going, mate?
So we've cracked the double century, have we?
I have. Yep, cracked the double century. I'm just, Ponting-esque, you know, just. Solid. It's taken a long time. It's probably more of a Jeff Marsh slow and steady kind of thing rather than a swashbuckling 200, I would say. But slow and steady, but we got there. So as I said last week, we're over 200. Like the blog pods and some of the celebrations weren't all numbered individually. But this is the numbered one. So no famous pop stars on this one. So if anybody wants to bust out some songs or some singing later to cover for the lack of famous pop star guesting, that's all right. But let's get stuck into it. Ahsoka, Episode 3. I've forgotten what it was called. Is it Given to Fly, which is a Pearl Jam song, or Learn to Fly, which is a Foo Fighter song, which are both incorrect. Time to Fly, was it?
Time to Fly.
And this one clocked in at a very meaty 36 minutes.
36 minutes.
Do you, Andy, when you see 36 minutes on your Disney Plus, do you do it on your TV or app, or do you see the time code before you go in, or do you go in blind?
I go in blind, and I've seen, and I've only just seen it actually, about a half an hour before I joined this call, because all of the times have changed. So it used to be where I got up in the morning on a Wednesday, and it was there ready for us at 8 in the morning, and now it's like, God's age, yeah, it's 2 a.m. in the morning. And so it's somewhat more difficult. And I must admit, I'm not inclined anymore to stay up at 2 in the morning to watch that kind of thing.
But do you go to bed
the
back of your mind, are you worried in the back of your mind you're sleeping and your brain realizes it's gone online while you were sleeping?
Not so much anymore. At my age, I tend to sleep very, very well.
Learn to let go.
I'm not as precious as perhaps I used to be. What I do though, obviously, is stay away from any kind of social media. And I mean, even in some of the chats that you and I are involved in, there are one or two sneaky little tidbits that sometimes squeeze out. So I try and stay away from that as best I can.
People can't.
But no, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, if you want to talk about the time for me is relative to the content, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what needs to be said and done within the episode should be what dictates the timing. So it doesn't faze me at all if it's a shorter episode, if the result is a good one.
The content's good. Yeah, yeah. What about you, Catherine? You the shorter ones work all right for you? That means we don't start late here.
Look, that is always a joy. But yeah, I did groan at the end going, oh, of course, you're ending the episode right there when and we're left with a week. But yeah, it does depend on the episode, on the content, what's in it, how quickly it moves along. And you know, this one I think sped by. It felt like it sped by pretty well.
Moved at a bit of a clip, didn't it? I don't know whether it was just because the last two were back to back, and obviously I watched them back to back. I'm sure most people did. And then, so, you know, you got like a, whatever it was, 80 minutes of content probably. And then you're getting probably, what do you reckon, 30 minutes without credits, Matt? You reckon?
The credits are 4.5 minutes, I think.
Yeah. And then you get all those weird Warren, like foreign ones at the end where it's just like, dance.
Oh, God. The Russians and the French and the Japanese.
Yeah.
There's another minute that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's right. Like, this isn't.
That could be new content, but it's going to be new content. Subtitles.
But I thought this was a good one. I think this was my favorite so far, actually. I thought everybody got better in it. And we'll kick off at the start. Why not? I'm just going off memories. I don't have that in front of me or anything like that. But we do start with a bit of training going on in Ahsoka's very sparsely laid out spaceship. She's got a lot of room for training and moving around and stuff. And Sabine, the worst Jedi in the galaxy, or the worst Jedi officially,
the worst Jedi in history.
In history,
have they met me? I'd be the worst. Come on.
I love how savage Hu Yang is. He's actually one of my favorites.
I've got to say up front, David Tennant was the MVP of this episode. And he's just doing a voice, but he just, every line he did was just fantastic in this.
Even in the last episode, and I wasn't here, but I the only time you are wasting is your own. I was like, whoa, savage. But got the message through. Like, oh, he's my favorite at the moment. And I'd love to see what Chris Hall is thinking right now, because I know he hates Anthony Daniels and 3PO, but I think he'd be a Hu Yang fan, so I'll be keen to follow up on that.
Yeah.
Are we accepting now that she has Force powers? Because I'm still somewhat confused about this.
Yeah, I think there's obviously something there, although Ahsoka does sort of go, well, I'm not really training her to be a Jedi. They're hiding something. Filoni's hiding something that he's not letting on to. There's some sort of unlocked potential here that they're not quite getting to. But at the same time, I like the idea that maybe if you're just the worst and you just stick to your guns, you can do enough to muddle by.
Well, no, they were pretty clear in the episode. I had my 11 o'clock rushed viewing on the phone at the office. And now
in the cubicle?
No, just at my desk, and I got caught. Right.
Well, good to see that.
And then on this second viewing, I was able to really concentrate and absorb it. They have a conversation. There's some dialogue where she's saying, the weapon stuff I'm good at, but I just don't have the Force. And then the dialogue between Ahsoka and Hu Yang is like, look, she doesn't need to have the Force. She just needs to be the best version of herself. So they have laid the foundation that she's not Force sensitive, but with determination and training and discipline, she could be more, and the Force lives in everything. So maybe it's going to manifest in the next 5 episodes, or maybe she'll just be a Jedi without Force powers. I don't know, but they haven't really backtracked or...
But she did mock her and put that cup in front of him and be like, look what I can move the cup. Here's a cup, you know. Potentially, you could just do something like that. But
It was the slowest drag of a cup ever, wasn't it?
I know. Usually they're just like whoosh, you know.
Twisting the knife. I mean, really making it hurt.
I did like how she sort of made it personal. She's just like, "Well, you win this round." To the cup. Although I would have liked to have just said you were in this round cup, like she personalized it. Did anybody notice at the very start when Ahsoka sort of says, you know, like I'll step in on the training here. She opened her little closet and she had all the like weapons and lightsabers and everything going on in the cupboard. Did anybody get a quick look at those? Like, what do we have? Anything good?
No, sorry. I
was freaking out with all the sabers on the wall.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I saw all the sabers and I thought, are these
like a general Grievous-esque level of collection?
Exactly. Exactly. I wondered, you know, in the years that we haven't seen her, has Ahsoka been traveling the length and breadth of the galaxy collecting dead Jedi sabers? That would be
grim.
Rather grim, yes.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's old JoJo. I remember them well, and and that guy sucked. I didn't really care for that guy.
There's Plo Koon.
There's good old Plo. Yeah, he was a bit of a water. He was a bit of a pill. You know, don't really care. Don't
but
really
wasn't
care
he Ahsoka's first master, Plo Koon?
I don't know. I have to go back. I feel like I'm just waiting for the.
He was there, wasn't he? I mean, he went on adventures with her. So without a doubt, he's been part of her. But I get this feeling that you have your master. A Padawan has their master, but you also have other teachers that kind of get involved in your training. I mean, you talk about, you know, going back to the OG. There's Kenobi that says, you know, you will go to see Yoda, the Jedi Master that taught me, and yet his master was Qui-Gon. So I get the feeling that they kind of mix and match. You know, one day Plo Koon will come as a substitute teacher or something like that.
Just when someone else is hungover, just to put the TV on or something like that.
It's my day off.
Yeah. Well, definitely, she had like a master before. You know. Middle of the Clone Wars, she got sent to Anakin. And, yeah, you're right that throughout the Clone Wars she had missions with other masters that she was meant to learn from also.
Did her other master die, or was it just like she just got rotated out, or was she like trouble?
I think it was rotated out, because I'm going to be wrong, but I'm sure it was Plo Koon, because she was really committing a certain mission to help him or something like that. And, you know, he must help all the like younger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause didn't he call a little one a lot?
Yes.
That was kind of his pet name.
So the way he just talks down to them.
Yeah.
Little one's like, oh, Plo Koon. He's always talking down to everybody. Yeah, look, I'm waiting for Alex and Molly to do the video of, hey, this is what's, you know, here's the contents of Ahsoka's broom closet or whatever, you know, next that she puts next to the toilet duck or whatever else that she's got in there, or the Domestos or whatever, you know, whatever your local reference is for your toilet cleaner and things. Yeah. But I did like that. And I liked that she did the simulation with the saber, and you could actually see where the correct hits were and the incorrect hits were and stuff as well, which was quite cool. So, that was good. I like that. But then we got to the blatant Star Wars reference after that. Do you want to call it that?
The helmet with the
helmet with the visor down. Yep.
Thank God she didn't say, "Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them." That would have been just too much. I mean, I love Filoni, how he references, he's done the Phantom Menace with the probe droids, and there's little kisses to the each movies. Yeah,
even he like said the line and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
how am I supposed to fight? Yeah.
Yeah. And I did see commented somewhere of she had seen Ezra go through similar training, being with a helmet down across his eyes, and she has seen Kanan fight after he was, spoilers, blinded.
you don't need to spoil it. If you haven't watched this and watched Rebels, yes, but no, fair enough. Good thinking.
Yeah. So, it's a bit funny that she would make such a comment, but maybe because she knows that Ahsoka knows that her talent is not in feeling the Force. She's sort of going, well, why are you making me do this same thing? Because, I can't feel through the Force like you do. I don't have that talent. While the Force may flow through her, she hasn't got the talent to use it. Like the analogy I thought of a few minutes ago was, I can sing, but I don't have a talent for singing. Let's just put it that way. Like, everyone can sing, but not everyone can sing well.
So this is just like an Australian Idol sort of thing where it's like, who was the guy, the famous like American Idol guy who was like, he was doing like she bangs and he was like terrible. Oh. And it was...
Yeah.
Is she like him? Yeah. Is she like the version? I can't even remember the name of the guy, but I think you know the guy I'm talking about, who was sort of like the worst, but they've just decided to keep them on there. I don't even like Andy. Do you reckon she even feels like she wants to be there? Like, she's been so pissy about like being left behind, and then when she actually got onto it, it just seemed she's whinging about it the whole time.
I think she's there just for Ezra. I think there is something this is the reason why I was asking the question earlier on about, you know, is there, something's happened between the Rebels and this series whereby there's some history that's created some sort of bad blood between these guys. I feel that she's only there for, to find Ezra. And yet, there is still a discussion or a reckoning that needs to happen between Ahsoka and Sabine to clear the air, because I don't think if it wasn't for Ezra, she wouldn't even be there, without a doubt.
No.
Yeah. They're kind of just getting along, really. But at the same time, like, they could look for Ezra without her doing Jedi training. Like, it seems like that's the bugbear. If she was just like, look, I don't want to be trained anymore. I'm just going to deal with my skills and I'll use my Mando skills and let's work through this. Like, me being... it seems like she's pushing it. Like, I think that it implies that Ahsoka basically was just like, I'm done with this. You know, you suck.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if there's more to this story than... which is the reason why I asked the question earlier on about the Force abilities, because she kicked ass during Rebels.
Mm.
She was a very, very, very powerful Mandalorian lady with a very, very strong heritage of powerful Mandalorian ladies that could do almost anything on a jetpack, could do almost anything with blasters, mastered the Darksaber. I think needs to be cleared up at some point during the series to explain this new expectation that Ahsoka has of Sabine, and I hope we get there. I really hope we get there because I feel like you wouldn't this episode is great.
Yeah, I don't think you'd even get a foot in the door. Like, they're kind of going, oh, look, you know, they were the worst. You're the worst one that we've had at the Academy, and blah blah blah, or you know. But there's a lot of people in the galaxy. Just to get a foot in the door is pretty good, you know. Even if you're first out. You must be showing something at least to be taken on in the first place. Even if David Tennant droid was a bit like, you know, she never would have got in the door, realistically, if you just showed up and said, I want to be trained.
As our analogy from last week, someone's got to be wing defense.
Yeah, because someone's got to be last picked. Someone's playing, you know, half back or whatever it is, or 12th man, or all those sort of spots. But it's got to be, you know, they're still part of the team. So yeah, that was cool. And they were basically, getting in there, doing the training, and then, you know what, and then we get back, we catch up with the New Republic. And one of the things that I didn't realize until I saw one of Alex's videos, was it Alex's video? Was that was the ship, like the main ship was the one from Return of the Jedi. So the scene.
Yeah, it's Home One.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was, Matt's shaking his
head. It was Home One last week.
I know, but I didn't realize that was like the conference room where it was like, I need a strike team to, you know, bring me on my thing. Matt, you've been a bit quiet, mate. What did you think?
I'm annoyed I wasn't here last week to remind you that it was Home One.
So they obviously don't have a base of operations. They seem to still be running sort of, well, the fleet's sort of just out and about. I assume the government's just taking over Coruscant again, which they have. Of course they have, because we've already seen that. But we got Hera basically. I think this was where Mary Elizabeth Winstead sort of came into her own. I think she was a little bit stiff. First episode particularly. Second episode, when she was flying the ship, she got better. But she showed a little bit of... Don't mess with me kind of thing when she got the senators in that room. And then Catherine, obviously, we got Chancellor Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma. Do you think she's footloose and fancy free, or is Perrin still around?
Oh, you think she's on like Coruscant Tinder or something, looking for mature singles or whatever it is? With Perrin mysteriously falls down a reactor shaft or something, or whatever it is.
She's gone through all of this. She's gone through the rebellion, and yet she's in the same damn mess of the Senate, not wanting to do anything, just like they were doing prior to and during the Clone Wars.
I was just sleepwalking back into oblivion here. Yeah.
Yep. And of course, that was Kaz's from Resistance's dad.
Was that the bloke who was like, "This is all horseshit. I'm not giving you nothing." Seemed like such a stupid, send a couple of ships. Like, what difference does it make? What's the problem here? I didn't see why it would have been a big deal to do that. Minimum amount of effort, maximum amount of potential payoff.
Mm-mm. And they've just had an incident on Corellia. They're like, "Oh, no, everything's good. You're just looking for Ezra. The Republic just seems to be making
a couple of people just shouted, "Long live the Empire." That could mean anything.
Oh, yeah. Don't send a mission. Don't waste resources.
Yeah. The Empire remnants think Thrawn might be lost somewhere, but he can't be anywhere. So, we won't even investigate rumors.
And even though Mon Mothma seemed keen, and she's still just like, "Oh, I've got to go delegate to the, I've got to go get the approval from the." I mean, say what you will at the Empire. I mean, they got stuff done. If Mon Mothma was just the Emperor, she could just say, "Yeah." And anybody who disagrees with me is going to get an electric bolt to the face or something like that. So that was a nice little scene. But I thought Mary Elizabeth Winstead was really good in that. I thought she brought the Hera. I saw the Hera in her very freakishly bright blue eyes.
It was a very different. It was both her and both Hera and Ahsoka were very different this episode. Ahsoka smiled.
Ahsoka kind of warmed up. Compassion. And Hera kind of toughened up. And I thought they sort of got closer.
If you remember back to the Clone Wars, Ahsoka was always, part of her failing as a Jedi or her blockers as being a great Jedi was her emotions, and it was her wisecracking snippiness, if you pardon the pun, as to what she was, what she used to be like. And then we saw her in Rebels, and it was very much sort of a more of a mature character, but she was still showing an awful lot of emotion. One of the things that I always remember is the way that she embraced Rex, for example, when they were reunited again. And yet we didn't see that in the first couple of episodes. And yes, I know there's a few years have gone past. There's obviously the Empire's been overthrown, and there's a lot of stories there. But the first two episodes was very, 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 very cold, very stoic.
I feel like she walks, I think Rosario's portrayal had walked closer to smugness than warmness.
Yep.
But it always kind of...
Exactly. And this episode, I saw...
She pivoted to more warmth than...
A lot more warmth.
I don't know whether she was doing it on purpose or whether it's just, I don't know, a look or who knows. Maybe it's just a perception. But I agree with you, Andy. I feel like she warmed up, and she sort of... And especially when we get into the later episodes and get some more of the cartoonier things that happened. But let's talk about the big reveal. Lego lied to me. Lego told me that Jason Syndulla didn't have green hair, Matt. And then
don't be blaming me.
A little green-haired scamp ran onto the screen. I had my iPad on, so it was nice and close. I had the colors there, and it wasn't like it was. We're not talking, bright green here, but it was definitely green. So there you go.
Was it green? I'm colorblind.
Yeah,
so
he was. It was green. Yeah, it was. It was like a green wash or a green tinge. It wasn't like the Joker or anything. It was.
Yeah, it was. You could tell it's sort of like a brown with a green dye on it. Admittedly, it was also not a great wig. If I can spot, it's a wig. It's a bad wig.
I thought I love the face that Hera made though when he was like, "I want to be a Jedi," and she's like, "It was nice. It was nice moment."
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My little boy.
Yeah. Well, I thought they were going to name drop Kanan, but it didn't happen. But yeah, that was a nice. So it was bring your kid to work day.
Yeah. It would have been good if, you know, I want to be a Jedi just like my dad.
It's like, no, you don't. And then he burnt to death.
Doing something heroic.
Yeah.
You know, better. I'm sorry. It's better than, you know, Luke Skywalker saying, "I want to be a Jedi just like my father." Do you?
Yeah. You don't know the whole deal. Look, it was cool. I don't know. I don't want too many kids in there. I don't want too many cute kid stuff. If he's just a background player, great. But if they put him in the Lego set with the ghost, he's probably going to be in the ghost at some stage. We haven't actually gotten to the ghost yet. So ghost hasn't turned up. No,
countdown to ghost. So, ghost watch, ghost watch.
So maybe we'll get to that later on. So basically the deal is they've got word that Morgan and her cronies are up to something. They've sent Sabine and Ahsoka have gone to investigate. Hera doesn't actually mention that. She just sort of says that we need some help to go invest. Does she actually mention that anyone's going to go look? I think she doesn't. I think she just sort of says, I want to go look. So she doesn't go, I'm just going to go send a Mandalorian and a Jedi. But I think that was Matt just muttering under his breath. Matt's having a few technical problems, but we're soldering on anyway. So if you hear him muttering under his breath under there, you can just see that he's coming in and out again. That's podcasting. No rules in podcasting, Andy, as you're realizing right here. It's just killing the magic. As an avid podcast listener here.
It's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Just go, well, the magic is ruined. I thought it would all be, you know, the glamorous life. But here we are. It's really just technical issues. And
I have to. I wrote some notes. Right, guys. And I'm even showing you. I mean, Hoffman, if he saw this at the moment, he'd be laughing that I've written some notes on paper.
Physical notes.
With a pen. Yeah. One of the things, and there's a stack of questions I've still got, which I'm sure, you know, will be answered over the series. But one thing that came out today was just how on point the visual effects are.
Mm.
There's a lot of money that's been spent there, or there's a lot of development that's happened. I think about the seasons that we've, or the different series we've been watching over the last 5 years, or it's not even that long, 4 years or so, and some of the stuff that we saw today I thought was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. The fact that, you know, not all starships fly in a straight line, the fact that they did have this kind of independent fluidity between ships, it was just spot on. I like that kind of stuff. Starship porn, as Jimmy would say, is my bag. So that was fantastic today.
You're back in the land of the living over here?
I'm back.
We got you muttering F sake under the when you dropped off the thing. You're like, well, it looks like he's having some technical issues, but we'll run with it. You'll either be here or you won't. You did hear about Jason Syndulla. We did discuss that before you dropped off. And then we basically get Ahsoka and Sabine getting to this planet to find out what the dealio is going on. And then they find this great big bloody hyperspace ring just hanging out, and so it was a hyperspace ring. It was basically a big version of those ones from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, which is good, you know, more powerful, more range. It makes sense to have their ships in there, or to have it as a ship and then go places.
Yep. So my question, Catherine, is, are they going to load it with ships and send it out there, or is it going to stay empty when they go out there to bring the Chimera back?
Well, it looked like, you know, there was enough built into the ring for her to have like a command center type of thing. So maybe that will go out, and then Thrawn's ship can like park itself in there. I'm sure there's a better word for that. And then they can come back with it.
They just sort of tie it on with some tow cables and some
gaffer tape.
So, Matt, we got your favourite, the Purgle. We had a Purgle party.
Yes.
So it can't be a coincidence they're at the planet of the Purgles for this. Now, I was wondering, do they know, if they build this hyperspace ring, right, and they're like, right, it's done, do they know that they're just like, all right, we're going to plug in some coordinates and we're going to shoot over and we're going to get Thor and we're going to come back? Or are they purposely at the Purgle planet because they're like, the Purgles know the directions, we've got to follow the Purgles, or we've got to track them, or we've got to use the Purgles somehow to show us the direction to go to, because that's basically how they got there last time, as a bunch of Purgles took them. So we're using their trajectories, or we're using them to basically show us the way.
They probably don't know how to track Purgles, because, like, you know, they were still working on hyperspace tracking as of then. But if they could track the Purgles, they wouldn't need the map.
But I don't know if the map tells you that there's just a galaxy out there and it exists, or whether it tells you how to get there.
Well, there was like a pointy, like, line thingy.
That was like the waypoint to the next galaxy. But I think that the significance of the Purgles is that what's sort of triggered this science and research was the Purgles' ability to travel through hyperspace. And so this planet being the point where they need to sort of be at to go to the next galaxy, I think the Purgles are just there because of the significance of the location.
I just thought it was because they'd come from the other galaxy and that was where they've jumped to, and a whole bunch of just stayed there because they're just like, well, we've jumped from the other place. We basically jump between these two points. Usually.
No, maybe, I'm not sure, but like I think also what they insinuated from the previous episode was that those other people that visited our galaxy came via Purgles.
Mm-hmm.
So like
Purgle riding a Purgle. Shout out Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
Copyright Blue Harvest.
Well, the map, that big star map, it did have like pictures of Purgles.
It did.
Yep. And I think, you know, it had it around the galaxy that the thing is pointing to. So, you know, like whales as we know them have migratory routes that they follow, and it's fairly closely followed each and every year. And so maybe that particular planet is on their migratory route, and that might be where they
strap a couple of Purgles to the front of your ring.
I think there's something in that. I think there's something in that, because if you look at the show, when they demonstrated the galaxy and the faraway galaxy, they drew a straight line. But if you look at the end credits, there's a route. Yeah. It's actually not a straight line. It's like the Indiana Jones you know, it's kind of like the whole there are many junctions in the route on the way to this galaxy.
Well,
so
that's what hyperspace
is.
It's a bunch of calculations, because really cool. If you do it too quick, you'll fly too close to a supernova or fly right through a spar, and that'll end your trip real quick, kid. I'm totally butchering that line, but you know where I'm coming from here. Star Wars reference, Matt. Yeah. So they get to the ring, and then basically they get chased down by some really cool looking little ships, little World War II fighter looking ships. I'm not a World War II buff or anything, but they looked very classic.
B-52s.
Yeah, well, just that sort of that design.
Well, the B-52s are the big bombers, so they'd probably be, I can't picture them right now, but they'd probably be closer to,
like a Spitfire or something, was it? I don't know.
Well, they look like the Messerschmitts,
Here we go. We're looking at the history buffs here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ships have always been a bit World War II inspired. Mm.
These ones just really look like they were going, you know, they just needed the propeller on the front to sort of like, and leading the charge was, is it Sintar?
Yeah, and I loved
Shin Hattie.
I just loved the old school Jedi headband type of thing for the communicator.
They've really raided, you know, like the army supply, surplus supply, Jedi surplus. You know, I mean, like they've just kind of, that's all the gear that they've just had from the from the Jedi days. And she does not blink, that lady. As soon as I noticed it, I couldn't unnotice it. And I just kept looking, and she's just looking like she's just got like the wide eyes going the whole time. If anybody spotted her blink in that episode, please let me know. Maybe
My
in
wife
20
says
years
she's
time.
Got a lazy eye.
Maybe in 20 years' time, they'll come back and do a special edition and they'll have to digitally put blinks in her eyes.
No.
Star Wars reference. But there was there was some very cool moments. I was nice seeing Sabine get on the back of the gun, and they managed to sort of do it in a way that wasn't just, you know, the same as Force Awakens or Star Wars or New Hope. We'd had enough of those sort of references, but that was a nice little sequence. And then they kind of learnt to work together again. That was the theme, really, wasn't it?
Yep. Yep. And also, you know, Ahsoka accepting that, no, like, she's going to be the one to have to adapt to Sabine as well. Like, when she finally went, look, you just tell me what you need and I'll do it, you know, rather than the other way around, which was interesting. However, can I go get back to the Purgles for 1 second? They called them star whales. Did you hear that? They said star whales, not space whales. I'm not accepting that. I'm sorry. I'm not accepting that. They are space whales.
Oh, okay.
Not star whales.
We better halt the T-shirts on that one.
Let's not forget as well that Ahsoka getting in a spacesuit and getting out on a going outside.
I have to say
that was something else.
Very nice of them to tailor a head tails like space helmet. But I suppose her species, she's not a Twi'lek, is she? She's something else, isn't she?
Togruta.
Thank you, Matt. So if you went to her planet and went and bought a space suit from the spacesuit store, they would all have those. That would be the standard design. It wasn't like it'd be abnormal. It would just be this, you know. So it's not out of the realm that she would have a one that would fit quite comfortably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's just the first time I think in live action we've ever seen them go outside. Right?
Yeah, in space, isn't it? That's what I thought. I think it's the first time, aside from Leia. You're in The Last Jedi getting blown out the window. Yeah. But
Wait a second. What about the space horses from Rise of Skywalker? Let's just...
They were in atmosphere.
I've forgotten what happened in that film.
Remember the horses are on the Star Destroyer?
But they are in the lower atmosphere, aren't they, I think?
Still.
But, I mean, as far as, like Andy said, as far as that, like, sort of, you know, like doing almost like a 2001 kind of... Just the slow. I'm sure they've done it in the cartoons and stuff, but to see, like, you kind of forget that sometimes Star Wars is in space, and then I know that a lot of the space rules of science don't apply in Star Wars, like sound and all that kind of stuff. But every now and then, like a somewhat accurate space thing will happen. Like, yeah, if you're in space, you'll sort of float around. I was like, oh yeah, I'm surprised that never happened in a cartoon. That felt like a cartoon moment that was on a napkin that never made it into an episode of Clone Wars.
No, they've had plenty of. They've had a few incidents in space in Clone Wars. Like, I think the one episode with Plo Koon when they're rescuing the troopers, and they had some outdoor stuff there, and when Kanan gets sucked out of the space, and he has an exact kind of Leia moment and draws himself back to the ship, but no one got angry about that. But
I like that moment, and
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, maybe she needed to just do a few more flip turns, and she had a. It would be funnier if Leia had a space helmet, but she just, or she didn't have the buns, does she? If she just had the buns on the side of her helmet rather than the head tails, but that was quite cool, and I did like that. How Sabine sort of used the rotating of the wing to sort of bump her back into the cockpit. I thought that was quite clever. Yeah, that was cool. Like, more of that, please.
Yeah, like definitely a lot sort of action-packed Star Wars, you know, for people saying, you know, oh, Andor, that's not Star Wars enough for me. You know, this is Star Wars. How do you like your Star Wars? You know, here it is.
Yeah, we had some lightsaber fights.
There's my Andor reference. There's my Andor right. Mention.
When you
for
get
the
one,
episode.
And that's you've spent your card. You get one. So they basically go through that, they fight off those fighters, and then they go through to get closer to get some data on the space wing thing, on the space ring thing, sorry. And then they get shot out of the sky, but manage to land the plane on the forest. I thought they did a pretty good job tracking them. It's always that Star Wars thing where you land on an entirely huge planet, and yet they manage to find you in the spot where you just land. You know, it's like if someone crashed to Earth and they just landed in Australia, and then they still managed to drive right past where you were rather than any other part of the planet. But yeah, that was quite cool. I've just I don't know. I kind of hope that they kind of I was even thinking maybe they'll get to the space ring and it'll take off and they'll get sucked through or it'll do something. I wasn't quite sure. I just don't hope we're not going to sort of dick around on this planet for too long. I'm going to get onto the next thing. We're going to be halfway through the series by next week.
Well, they've got to catch up with Mando and Grogu on this planet for next week, so to fill our way into the halfway point, the midpoint.
Or do you reckon next week's the cameo? The cameos?
No, I hope not. But I can't imagine what they're going to be doing on this planet.
Well, I mean, just to speculate. I mean, that's kind of where the episode ends. They're on the planet, and then we cut back to Ray Stevenson, to Baylan, and he's with his mates, and they're all going to start looking for them, and you know, the walls are closing in, so on and so forth. And that's kind of where they leave it. But I don't know where they're going to fit stuff like Anakin Skywalker and stuff into this. It doesn't feel like that there's an obvious place where this plays into it so far. Are you getting that feeling, Andy, that they're kind of... It doesn't feel like that's tying in at all as it is.
I don't think they've got time. I think if they demonstrate the same kind of pacing in the first two episodes that they have in the third, they probably could squeeze a lot more in, but I don't think there's enough time. It's that simple.
Yeah,
I think if Anakin's going to make an appearance, she could be asleep on the deck and have a dream. It's only a 1 minute, 2 minute thing, but you never know.
Well, again, it depends on how relevant he is to the story. I mean, I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. If it's Anakin is pivotal to this story somehow because he has a prior relationship with Baylan or Morgan or something, or he knows something, or Thrawn or whatever it is, and his presence or being involved is crucial to the story, or if it's just Ahsoka remembers the time Anakin taught her how to do a backflip and then she does the backflip later on.
Yeah. So there was a moment in the episode where Hoyan said, oh, you know, you've come from an unconventional line of masters. And there was a moment where I thought Ahsoka had flashback eyes. So I thought we were going to go into a flashback. I think she just
started looking into the thing and it started going...
It was flashback eyes.
It was definitely a little pivot. So they said, he said, you come from a line of non-traditional Jedi, so yeah, your apprentice fits in. That was definitely a little little bit of room for Anakin there. That's
Yeah, because she looked into the middle distance and I was just waiting for the, dissolve to flashback.
Crusty CGI-faced Hayden Christensen. He'll have the, I don't know. Well, I guess we all speculate on that. Like, what era do we get? Do we get Clone Wars era Hayden in an outfit or with the sort of medium hair? Do we get the long hair going?
We could get Sebastian Shaw. You never know.
Yeah, we could get Sebastian. Is Sebastian Shaw still alive?
No, I don't think so.
No.
He's long past. But
is he?
Could get CGI Sebastian Shaw.
Well, why not? Why not flip it on its head, I say. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. Where are we going from here? Like I said, we're going to be at the half point. Where do you want to be? By the time the half point ends next week, we get to the end of the next episode. Where do you want this story to be, Andy? Do you want to be off that planet? Do you want to be kicking up a gear? Are you happy to sort of kick around a little bit more?
Yeah, I it would be good to kind of use the next couple of episodes for Ahsoka, Sabine to get in hijinks and a little bit of trouble. And then use the last two episodes to have this almighty rescue from Hera and the rest of the Rebel fleet, wherever that may be. I guess at some point, I mean, the question is, are they actually going to use the hyperspace ring in this season? Is the only snippet that we've seen in the trailers so far of Thrawn, is that just a little reflection in the very, very last episode that says, oh, I'm still out here. I'm here. I'm still waiting for you guys to turn up. Something, a little bit of hijinks in the next couple of episodes where the team get into a little bit of trouble, then Hera and the team come to rescue, finish it off nicely, openly. Thrawn's back, potentially, leading nicely into, I guess, what is either going to be season two or the film, which brings everything together. And I'm assuming, I have to guess, that Thrawn will be the big amalgamation of all the separate series will be that big fight. I don't know. Don't know. Looking forward to it. I do have a question though before you move on.
Please.
How did the map get there? I've looked at the first two episodes twice now. If Thrawn made it out to this other galaxy, somebody must have made it back in order to say Thrawn's here. How does that work?
I've seen talk about this that makes sense is in that it's not so much a map to Thrawn, but it's a map to another galaxy, and that's where they think Thrawn is.
The Purgles have taken him.
Which is why I think that's why they're following Purgles, because this is a place that they know that Purgles go between.
Right. Yeah. They're going back to Catherine's earlier point of migration patterns and everything. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's an ancient Yeah, it's an ancient
too much free
map
time.
To a place that they think Thrawn is gone, not necessarily a map to Thrawn per se. Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be just way too Force Awakens-y, like, you know, map to Luke Skywalker, the map to Thrawn. I can't wait for the dagger to find Ezra.
The dagger, an ancient dagger to solve something that happened 30 years earlier. That's why you need an ancient dagger to solve a 30-year-old thing. You could probably just gone down the street and asked somebody, did you see where that thing ends up? Yeah, it was just down there. It didn't happen that long ago. We saw it. The people who saw it were still alive. Anyway, Rise of Skywalker. I don't want to think about it. What about you, Catherine? We come up to halfway point. Where do you want to be at halfway through this season?
So in the trailers, we did see some kind of lightsaber clashes in a forest. I'm now thinking
we're at the forest.
Yep. And I'm hoping that will happen next episode so that we can then, go somewhere to the other galaxy in that hyper ring or do something else so that we can be past everything in the trailers.
Mm-hmm. Who's fighting in is it Ahsoka fighting in that? Is she fighting not
I'm
the
pretty
two?
Sure, yeah, we're going to see Baylan and Ahsoka fight in that sort of where the map is in CTOS and the
Stonehenge
structure is there. I'm pretty sure the only thing we haven't seen from the trailers now is that fight. And Thrawn's back and Thrawn's front. And I actually want to go back now and see the trailer to see if that's Thrawn inside the hyperspace ring walking down the hallway.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. That just hit me in the last 2 minutes.
Hiding in plain sight the whole time.
No. That would indicate that the hyperspace ring has gone to get him.
Yep.
He's on board now and coming back. I don't know. But I need to do that post this end of this show.
Do you think that he's like expecting to be found, or do you think he's given up?
Well, no, apparently he's communicating. Morgan's saying she's communicating. I can hear Thrawn calling out to me in my dreams, so they've got some sort of connection going.
In their dreams, yeah, okay. So
do
you want to see Big Blue by the end of next week, Matt? Is that where you want to end up?
I want to be elbow deep in blue chiss by the end of next week.
You'll be well and truly chissed up.
But I saw something on the internet, and it's not Reddit, it's not spoilers, but it's some crazy theory that Filoni, by creating this alternate galaxy, can now set up a whole storyline and, you know, new shows, everything that can be made that won't affect the Skywalker saga and the Force Awakens. You can sort of bypass that and go, let's move everything over to the new galaxy and continue the Star Wars canonical timeline without worrying about Rey and all that stuff and Finn and Poe and that storyline, which is sort of
shoehorned. This just sounds like people who are like, I just don't want any of the Disney stuff in my Star Wars. I'd rather get Dave Filoni, my savior, to start something new somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not buying it. I like the idea of another galaxy of opening. I mean, they've done that forever in the books, the Uzon Vong and the bloody all the other. The Grisk. And was it that terrible book, Truce of Bakura? Didn't the dinosaurs people come from another galaxy or another, maybe the outside regions? It's all, you know, it's always what's just outside of the fence you can't quite see.
I think I heard that the Witches of Dathomir were introduced in Truce of Bakura.
Really?
Is that right?
I have read Truce of Bakura, but it's so, so forgettable. I don't remember anything apart from the little velociraptor people.
Yeah. I remember like the cover of the book. It was either that book or The Courtship of Princess Leia that I said no more to EU.
And that was it.
I think it was about that.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's about it, really. Like I said, we've talked longer than the episode actually went for, which is, you know.
A good effort.
A pretty good effort. There was, you know, it was a lot of really cool bits, but not a stack of meat on the bone story-wise. We kind of got to the next bit, but everybody was better in this. I think the story's still kicking along. It's focused. It's got a pure line through. There's no detours. Seems to be all running pretty good. We got a little bit more. We got some Jacen Syndulla. We got some Mon Mothma. We got shown a little bit more stuff. I think we're all going in the right direction here.
Yeah, great David Tennant content.
Yeah, Tennant was the MVP. He's... So more of David Tennant, please.
And I really like the voice that he uses for this. It's his duffer voice that I like to say. So it's not quite Doctor Who. It's not quite Crowley. It's, you know, none of his other characters. It's like this duffer that he puts on, like an old duffer. Sorry, that's stuffy. A real...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that.
But
Catherine, it was The Courtship of Princess Leia. I just looked it up while we were...
Oh, The Witches of Dathomir was in. Look at this. This is, I like this. You've got to come back next week, Andy, and you can do the live researching online here. Like, you know.
Well, I thought I'd make use of it. 1994, officially. 1994, Witches of Dathomir first appeared in The Courtship of Princess Leia.
I've never read that one, actually.
I think I was still reading after that.
I think Crystal Star was where I checked out.
Yeah.
I did read all the Jedi Academy ones and the Edge of the Empire ones and a couple of others in between, but yeah, that was about it for me. I never read the ones where Chewie got the moon dropped on his head or whatever it was.
I didn't get up to there.
Once they all started veering away from the main characters, it was all just like, oh, you've just lost me. This is getting too inside baseball. All right, guys. Well, I think we'll round up there. We'll be back again next week. You're all welcome to come back. Come back anytime. It's good having a full deck to talk about this. As good as it is just having Catherine on, who, you know, always is here to save the day when other people can't make it. It always is good fun having everybody else on. I know we had a few little technical hiccups today, but that's just podcasting.
Good luck editing this one, Josh. Hopefully it comes up as one file.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I'm probably just going to let it roll. I mean, you swore under your breath at one bit, but, like, who's going to pick that up, really? I'm like, who cares? It's only podcast.
Podcast police.
Yeah. You know, Andy, thank you so much for coming on. You got a baptism of fire on your first go. You got to see the warts and all, but you're welcome to come on as much as you like. Come back anytime. Come back next week if you want.
Thank you, guys.
Did we just get called warts, Catherine?
Don't say that. I don't know.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I miss you guys a lot. So it's great seeing you face to face.
Well,
we miss you too, Andy.
Countdown to Japan. Matt Mull's already working on his brushing up on his Japanese.
Brushing up, indeed.
Don't you speak Japanese?
I can speak Japanese, yes.
I knew there was something like, yeah, all right. This is like being able to speak Spanish when we were getting tacos in Anaheim.
Funnily enough, I was looking through Anaheim photos yesterday and there was pictures of tacos. And I was like, oh, that was me and Josh at the taco stand at 9:30 with sore feet after Anaheim.
I know, it took like 40 minutes as well. That guy could only cook one taco at a time, but it was worth it. But yeah, I think it just took forever. But anyway, we wouldn't trade it for the world. Don't wear brand new shoes to Disneyland. Also, there's a little tip for you, Matt.
That's in my book. That's in my book, the guy, Matt Moll's Guide to Celebration.
Yeah, how to jump cues and wreck your feet. awesome, guys. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. 200 episodes. Very happy to make it that far. We'll keep kicking along.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, thank you. Josh.
I think it was what a great. I was just happy to have people, you know, have a full deck and talk some Ahsoka, and we'll be back next week. So thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Josh.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.